gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in a half an hour.
That's right.
He's our regular Monday guest because he's both rude and hilarious.
Yes, he is.
StephanieMiller.com. The website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeMoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank.
Wow.
It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Go to GM. We love you. Oh, the Rude Pundit will be in San Francisco this weekend, as will Mama.
That's right.
And Chris LeBlanc.
Well, yes.
This Saturday, July 25th, a girls' night out up for our Green 960 station in San Francisco. Go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. You can find out how to see me, and we have a link up for the Rude Pundit's appearance on Sunday.
Yes, right there in the live blog, front and center of the Stephanie Miller website.
There you are. Mm-hmm. Also, Mama in Seattle, August 8th. Check out the calendar section for that, for the big town hall.
Right.
Get your tickets now.
And to find the calendar section, you go to the show section and then a little submenu called Calendar of Events.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lots of big news, of course, over the weekend. The president coming out on an unprecedented Friday press conference to open a little can of health care whoop-ass.
That's right.
I have to say, now is not the time to slow down. And now is certainly not the time to lose heart.
Yeah, Chris LeVoy. Who might as well be a blue dog Democrat like Representative Mike Ross of Arkansas.
There's 40 of us that are conservative Democrats of the Blue Dog Coalition that signed a letter about a week ago to the leadership saying that we cannot support the current bill.
By the way, Julie from Seattle, Chris, has sent a lovely visual of you called Chris LeVoy Robotic Doom Parrot that says, it's working, squawk, it's working. Mook wants a cracker. Steph, I dusted off this email I sent you along with a polite request to toss a towel over Chris during the Grampy and Vampy campaign. To every new boneheaded caribou Barbie outrage, Chris would say, I'm afraid it's working. And E.R. Ward would groan something about Florida, sending Mama's less stable listeners running for Xanax, brown liquor, and a loaded revolver.
Wow.
That's true. And as it turned out, everybody take heart, because Chris was wrong every single time. You remember, everything Hillary was doing was working, Mama wasn't going to win, and then everything McCain and Caribou Barbie was doing was working, and it wasn't going to... Just saying. Chris LeVoy went on record as saying health care reform will not happen.
Support for...
The Blue Dogs are peeling off! Oh, help!
Support for the president's health care plan has now dipped below 50%.
I understand. Take heart. Are you going to start crying soon like Glenn Beck?
I don't cry.
All right. Listener Clinton Atlanta.
He just
throws
stuff against the wall.
I've never thrown stuff against the wall either.
Yes, you have. Lincoln Logs.
Oh, well.
When you were a tot.
I've never done that in this room like Jim has.
No, only Jim throws things
yes.
in this room. All right. Glenn Beck's on Fifth Symphony.
That was disturbing.
Hilarious. Thank you, listener Clint. All right. Of course, the breaking news over the weekend, the death of Walter Cronkite on Friday. Very
yeah.
sad. The breaking news over the weekend. Thank you. Speaking of news, George writes, Steph, when I heard that Walter Cronkite had died, I thought, now there's only one living broadcast journalist I trust to bring me the sober, unbiased news. That person?
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Sober?
George in Acton, Massachusetts. He means in a journalistic sense, I think, not really so much in
sure.
an alcoholic sense.
Okay.
Walter Cronkite, Stephanie Miller. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, that mm-hmm. they go mm-hmm. hand in hand.
Only one place to go now, Stephanie Miller Newscast. Mm. Okay. Speaking of which, let's check some other news we don't want to lose. Now we can't go!
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. Oh, heavens, the headline AP investigation, frugal South Carolina governor flew in style.
Oh, dear.
South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford shed his fiscal conservatism on several taxpayer-funded international trips, including a South American jaunt, a particularly jaunty jaunt. That included time with his lover, choosing expensive first class or business class seats while his aide sat in coach.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he wouldn't take the stimulus money because, you know, he's frugal. But yeah. His personal stimulus package, you know, had to
go up one.
Yeah, I got to fly in style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He once criticized other state officials. Oh, it's another edition of BS. Part two.
Right-wing hypocrites.
He once criticized other state officials for costly travel. He charged the state more than $37,600 for first class and poor business class flights overseas since November. Yikes. Other state employees flew in the back of the plane in steerage with Leonardo DiCaprio. According to documents, the Republican governor who balked at taking the federal stimulus money after arguing it was an unwise use of taxpayer funds.
Yeah.
charged the state almost $9,000 for one Delta Airlines trip.
Oh,
wow. You can pay that much on Delta? Who knew? When first running for governor in...
They might even feed you for that money.
In 2002, he once posted of sleeping on a cot in his office to save money, blasted incumbent state officials for their expensive flights. He went on record then, Chris, as saying, "This kind of lavish spending with taxpayer footing the bill just doesn't make any sense to me," he said in one campaign. "And if I become your governor, I'll fix that problem."
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm. Okay. We have who do we have?
Governor Sanford.
Oh.
I stand before you willing and ready to defend my fiscal conservatism to the people of South Carolina. While it is true that I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on trips to eat a little carne asada in Argentina, I urge you to think what would have happened had I not done that. Can you honestly say you would have preferred that I hire $4,000-a-night call girls to relieve the job-related stress I've been undergoing? It would have busted the workers' comp budget for the next generation. And while I have dallied with several women since I've been governor, that only speaks to my frugality. When you're buying Vera Wang bustiers, Fred Siegel whips and chains, and Jimmy Choo ball gags, the savings when you buy in quantity are considerable. And let's take up the matter of the Estee Lauder personal glide bomb. I admit the per-ounce price is somewhere north of four figures, but my purchase of an entire tanker truck brought the price right down to CoverGirl levels. No, the bottom line is this. When I'm admiring my soulmate's bottom line, I'm thinking of the people of South Carolina. And now I'm putting their mouths where my money is.
And finally, the headline is, in small Central California town, racist email is just poking fun. Get it? At least seven emails making offensive jokes about President Obama, the First Lady, and black people in general were sent to prominent citizens in Atwater, California, by a city councilman.
Oh, great.
Councilman Gary Frago admitted sending emails comparing Obama to O.J. Simpson.
because they have so much in common.
About Obama taxing aspirin because it's white and it works. And one about Michelle Obama posing nude for National Geographic because... The emails which originated from others.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was just sending them along.
Meaning other racists. Were forwarded to various community leaders, including a county supervisor, a former police chief, a city manager, a former city council member, a former president of a veterans group, and a former Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus, among others. An ex-city worker said they're poking fun at somebody. If it makes somebody laugh, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the guys that got one of the emails and thought it was,
hilarious.
Particularly hilarious. We have,
We have a reporter from the Sacramento Bee.
Oh, good.
We encountered Councilman Frago in the front yard of his rambling house, and he was gracious enough to take time from jacking up the 1973 Chevy Impala to talk to us. The front end was already atop its cinder block perch, but he said he could wait until, quote, I can get a couple of those backs from on the corner to come and place the others. When confronted by the accusations of racism that have been hurled at him since the disclosure of the joking emails about President and First Lady Obama, he narrowed his eyes, spit some chaw into a beer can, and responded, the single tooth in his lower jaw shining brownly in the sun.
Oh.
I swear I never meant no harm to President. Why, I actually like a lot of the I've met, and at least the ones that weren't too uppity. Reaching past his bare chest, he sunk his hand down his coveralls and scratched his nether parts vigorously. Taking a pull from the same beer can he spit in, he continued, You know,
since the niggers got all them rights handed to them on a silver platter and they started getting all the jobs that belong by rights to the butt, man, they've gotten awful touchy. You can't even say, hey, boy, fetch me a swallower of white lightning without the reverends and the civil riders and all them Jews coming down on you like weevils on a cotton crop.
Oh, God.
We were interrupted by the arrival of a young girl carrying a book bag. Oh, this one's my cousin, Lulabelle. She just home from sixth grade. Lulabelle, there, here's a reporter from the newspaper. Say hello and get in the bedroom and get ready. I'll be along directly.
Oh.
Say, fella, what's that look? We're married, all legal and proper. I think the interview's over, don't you? We agreed hastily as a shooting iron, as the councilman called it, had been produced and was aimed in our direction.
Huh.
We will try to catch up to the councilman again at the white coat and hood formal barbecue next week.
Oh, dear. The shooting iron. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a tile ad. Wow, look at that.
Ooh.
The Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
With a caricature of you on it.
Yes, which looks a little like Tim Robbins to me.
It kind of does.
You are kind of like kinda, Tim Robbins.
Yeah, like a shorter, rounder version of Tim Robbins.
Latanya.
Not hanging out with...
Yes, good morning.
Tanya in Seattle wants to check in on healthcare. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Mooks.
Good morning.
Okay. Maybe you guys can help me. I'm not sure. Are Blue Dog Democrats undercover Republicans, or I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, what's the point of them?
They are fiscally conservative Democrats, but socially liberal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're what Republicans used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh. Are you okay, Latanya?
You know what, Latanya?
It's
good to have them on our side for social issues. I just wish they'd get on our side for fiscal issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. You know, we came into a debt in the beginning of the year, and now all of a sudden that's Obama's fault. It's been 6 months
yep.
in the presidency.
Yep.
And, oh, he's failing. Oh, my God.
I'm not sure by the time Ed Schultz gets done knocking some blue dog heads together, we're not going to get this health care done, you know?
Just take and clean off, maybe.
I mean, you know, that's what, Chris, my point, and you know, I'll do anything to, you know, make you look like an idiot, but that wasn't my point in the opening. I agree with the president on Friday. We have to keep hard, and the point is not to, like, lament the, oh, the blue dogs are peeling off. We need to put pressure on them. You mm-hmm. need to put pressure on them. The, you know, the majority of American people want health care reform done. I agree with you that politically stuff works in the short term, but I'm just saying in the long term, the point is I'm always right and you're always wrong.
Well,
Barack Obama did win the primary and he did win the presidency.
They also have to listen to their constituents.
Constituents, exactly.
Right. Yes.
Their constituents have dropped below 50% in support of this healthcare.
But, okay, here's the best point I think was made, was Nancy Pelosi. She said, this is how the legislative process works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kathleen Sebelius was saying it yesterday, if you saw her on TV.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it works. You know, you negotiate, you figure out different solutions, you cut the costs, you try to figure out how to do that. I mean, this is, you know, it's like they're saying, it's watching the sausage being made.
And
granted, it's not pretty, but I'm just saying, you can't give up now.
It's important for us to watch the sausage being made.
Yes, and put pressure on people.
People are watching the sausage being made, and not liking what they're seeing. That's why support is going down.
That's because there's people like you whining.
Whining. I'm just being realistic, Stephanie.
All right. Well, we'll be back with more of our little spat as we continue on the healthcare debate on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't think I've ever seen this video.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
This is Cream by Prince.
Yes.
Yes. Mm.
Get on top.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Stephanie.
What could be insinuating?
Mm. It is the
Cream
Stephanie.
Rises to the top. I'm sure that's what he means. It's an ad for the Dairy Council or something.
24. I don't think I even need to say it's a Stephanie Miller Show. I think from that conversation, you pretty
yeah.
much know it's a Stephanie Miller Show at this point. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sarah in Oklahoma wants to chime in on the healthcare debate. Hey, Sarah, welcome.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Chris.
Yes, hi.
You need to really buck up, get a spine, take a breath. We're going to get this done.
Yep.
We're going to get it
done. I kind of have a spine. I'm standing up against Stephanie with what I believe. So I do have a spine.
Well, I mean, a okay. Well, that we'll get some courage. How about that?
I do have courage.
Sarah, he does tend to be a little bit of a doommeister, doesn't he?
Yes.
I'm just saying you have predicted doom several times before and been incorrect, is all
right.
we're saying.
But I've also been correct several times.
I don't think so. Name one.
President. If an African American become president, I really can think he could do almost anything.
Sure.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think he will get this done. He's drawing the line in the sand right now.
But really,
Sarah, let me say, a lot of the points Chris are making, others have made. It's just that, you know, people have also said, look, Barack Obama has been counted out a lot of times before. And I wouldn't, nobody's made any money betting against him.
I know. So, I mean, I put my faith in Obama, and we really just need health care. We can't put it off anymore. We've been doing this since Teddy Roosevelt's been in office. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I think what was the story about Nancy Pelosi was talking to John Dingell when, you know, they announced this House version, and his father was trying to get health care done in, you know, whatever year
Harry
that was.
Harry Truman was trying to do it in 1947.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, exactly. Can I have my hilarious comedy music, please, before we continue? We have the Rude Pundit coming up in a few minutes.
Yes.
And he's just...
Rude.
Yes. For instance,
and
he's...
pundity.
Exactly. If you read his recent blog, it's just, how could you not read the headline that says, Why Bill O'Reilly Ought to Be Sodomized with a Microphone?
Oh, dear.
A Sennheiser or... Let's see.
No.
Or just one of those cheap Radio Shack ones.
Rude Pundit
writes... wouldn't want to waste a Sennheiser on that.
No.
He points out something we've pointed out before, what passes for journalism on the Factor. Rude Pundit writes, here's the bestest analysis you could desire the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearings. It comes from Fox, quote-unquote, news host and a man who eats baby voles like peanuts, Bill O'Reilly, who was talking very seriously last night with a very serious body language expert, Tanya Ryman, about Sotomayor's blinking and hand gestures. Yeah, he really fills actual time with this.
Wow.
Believe me, I know. You make me watch it.
Rude Pundit writes, first off, being a body language czarina is like being a three-card Monty Fuhrer. It's one of the easiest scams you could pull. Ryman even teaches a body language university. No, really. Oh, but hell, she has a degree in general studies, so you know you can trust her insights. Let's hope the czarina of body language does never meet the Bolsheviks of real psychology. It can't end well for her. You gotta give some props to O'Reilly, though. Skeevy old guy and hot blonde chick, this is like vaudeville.
She is kind of hot.
Yeah, whatever. It's a little dog and pony show.
Yeah, it is.
Hilarious. All right, we will talk to Rude Pundit live in just a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, the health care debate, of course, heating up. Barack Obama, worried about resistance to his health care plan from right-wing tools like Chris LeBoy, exhorted Congress not to lose heart on Friday, urged deeper cost cuts to calm concern over the huge expense of covering millions of uninsured Americans, the president.
I wanted everybody to just step back for a moment and look at the unprecedented progress that we've already made on reform.
He said what we want to do is force the Congress to make sure they're acting on recommendations to hold down Medicare and Medicaid spending. He said, now I realize the last few miles of any race are the hardest to run, Chris, but I have to say now is not the time to slow down. Now is not the time to lose heart.
Health insurance reform cannot add to our deficit over the next decade, and I mean it.
He means it. Sounds like something
snark?
My dad would say.
Was that snark?
And I mean it.
Well, he does. So his point is, chill, mother. He's got this.
All right.
28 minutes after the hour, back with Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
Well, that was pretty rude.
It is the Stephanie Miller. I get it. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yeah, I'm reading my Rude Pundit as I always do. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Exactly. Sotomayor, day three, more random observations of the tedious madness. Honestly, watching even a couple hours of the Sonia Sotomayor hearing once makes you want to break a window and cut your chest with the glass just to make sure you're not too numb to feel anything.
Yes.
Now, we'll have to see how he's doing. Why, who is it, Jim?
Hey, it's Lee. Who's your papa? The Rude Pundit.
Who's my papa? Why, he is. Good morning, Rude Pundit.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Now, last we spoke to you, you were trying to cut yourself like a teenage girl so you could feel something in order to get through the Sotomayor hearings. You have moved on to wanting to cut your chest open.
Well, you know, the day had progressed since I talked to you, yeah. And I watched a little more, and more pain was needed.
You know, your observation was the same as ours, though. You write, the endless ways that Republicans are asking the same things over and over and over, focusing on two things, her wise Latina remark, and the Ricci case as if they were KGB interrogators with a writer who said something nasty about Brezhnev. That was exactly it. I was watching, like, the same question asked 634 times, wasn't it?
Well, and but because there was a point you realized that they had just kind of given up. And, you know, you see that, in fact, actually the wiser among the Republicans, and I put wiser in air quotes.
Yes.
You know, actually just figured out a long time ago that this was a waste of time. And so really they just needed to fill up their 30 minutes in the hearings. I mean, what were they going to ask her about? The
yeah.
discrimination cases where she ruled against the plaintiffs?
Yeah. Exactly. I think the defining moment was when Sessions finally admitted that he was on crack, confirming what we all had suspected.
I just love that he was going to sell to Leahy, you know?
I mean,
it's better than the way Cheney treated Leahy, so.
Yeah, and I love that he has now come out and said he's not going to vote for her because some things that she said troubled him.
Right,
which is ironic,
right.
Coming from Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, well, you know, it was troubling that he had to actually sit there and communicate with her. It was troubling that he actually had to listen to her for so long. It was troubling that he was the one running it for the Republicans, so he had to be there all the time listening to her.
Yes. Now, as I normally do, I'm just going to read a lot of your column back to you, if that's all right. But you seem to whiff a scent of racism from Senator Sessions. I don't know where you come up with that, but you said about asking the same questions. Ask enough, and surely there will be a contradiction. Surely some crack will show the awful bean-eating beast within. It's all they've got, but this dead horse is just looking disgusting from all the beating. That was true, but if ever there was judicial restraint last week, it was her, right?
Oh, totally. You'd think it could be worse. Let's just go with this. You know, there were several commentators, right-wing commentators, that just kept saying, just let it go. This could be way worse. It could be the way, I mean, can you think of the last time there was a Republican nominating a Supreme Court justice where Democrats could actually sit there and go, okay, this isn't that bad. I mean, they tried to do that with Roberts, I guess,
right.
But they convinced a lot of people. But seriously, this was just not a fight to have, and they made it into a fight.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you got God bless them, and God bless
them
for that.
I was going to say more power to them. Hey, welcome to 2010.
Now your number two observation is the one that, of course, made Bill O'Reilly's head explode, and that is what I think a lot of people noticed, that Al Franken is smarter than almost every senator there.
Oh, Al Franken was amazing. Al Franken, and you know, Al Franken drove the right wing crazy because he didn't come out there. I mean, they tried to pick out one thing. Did you see Glenn Beck's little snarky side? And by the way, the Glenn Beck Beethoven's Fifth thing is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Beck played the Perry Mason clip of Franken asking that as a charming way to open his questioning, mm-hmm. and Beck exploded. I'd like to know about the Constitution. I'm fascinated. We'll learn later. She did not know the name of that case. Oh man, can I tell you something, Minnesota? I'm about to rip your star off the flag.
Oh no!
Wow.
And he's lost his mind. I mean, not that he ever really had much sanity to begin with, but, you know, he's just 100 pounds of crazy in a 50-pound bag.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was my favorite part of that rant was, I'm going to lose my mind today.
Yeah.
Okay. But you made another great observation in the Franken thing, and that is that he was funny, sure, but compared to Arlen Specter, who acted like an old... or no one likes who bitches that he doesn't get enough visitors at the nursing home. Franken was a model of decorum and preparation.
Yeah, Franken came in there, and you know what I loved about Franken was he was actually sort of our surrogate, sort of the
people's proxy, like
right,
he said, yeah.
Like he said he was going to be. He was asking things, and he came in there not trying to dazzle anybody with his legal knowledge, not trying to catch anybody off guard. He just came in here and said, here are some things that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, I'm very interested in internet freedom. I'm interested in the right to privacy.
Yeah, and things that normal people can understand, unlike stare decisis or whatever the hell that one eye-glazing conversation was at one point.
Yeah, which is fine. You know what? Legal geeks want to have their conversation. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah.
It's better than another round of, you know, let's spin the wise Latina wheel.
Right.
Yeah, but that's true. I mean, I, a lot of those questions, didn't you get the feeling like it was just Republicans trying to show off that, you know, about how much they knew? It wasn't even about asking her something.
Well, you know, if your party has spent a lot of time just sort of, you know, beating that dead horse, as I said, of the wise Latina, then you better show you have something else and, you know, another arrow in your quiver, however crooked that arrow might be.
Yeah, exactly. Here's one of my favorite posts of yours, because Lindsey Graham, one of your favorite characters, as it was for us.
That was shudder.
You write, the best rubber glue moment was from Lindsey Graham, who offered the federal judge seated before him. You have said some things that just bugged the hell out of me. Graham is such a skeevy son of a bitch, the kind of long neck circus geek who hangs around in the back of gay bars sucking back long necks, watching the men dance so he can go home and off at the vicarious feeling of peck on peck motion, but who'll deny he's into dudes because he's never a guy. I think that was the best summation I have heard recently of how Lindsey Graham comes off.
And he just kept wanting, and he just kept trying to seem like the rational Republican. He kept trying to say, I'm asking you all of these things. But the only thing I'll say about appreciating Lindsey Graham is he just didn't seem like his heart was in it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. He still manages to come off unbelievably condescending, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. There were things in there that you just thought, would you really say that to a male candidate?
Mm-hmm.
Would you really stand there and say, you know, that if you don't have a total meltdown, if you don't have, he's going to crumble and cry, like...
Right. I think it's time for you to take a moment of reflection on your...
Yeah.
Your temperament.
Yeah, again, is another one of those rubber and glue moments.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then your number four observation, very, very rude pundit, I must say. But you do say what many of us thought, and that is, who the cares what Frank Ricci has to say about a damn thing? Nothing against him himself, other than the Sotomayor ruling is part of a panel on an appeal case he was a plaintiff on. What the does he have to say? His opinion, unless it's on how to put out a fire. And then you further note that you got to love that Ricci got his job by suing under the Americans with Disabilities Act because he's dyslexic, thus blocking a non-dyslexic from being a firefighter. Maybe he got it backwards and thought he was black, and that's why he sued again for promotion. That is a convoluted, though delightful observation.
Well, thank you. I just found, all he had to say, the only thing he had to say is that people should be able to go into court and sue. And I don't think anybody was really arguing with that.
Yeah.
I also, did you see the Puerto Rican firefighter who jumped on the lawsuit and became a plaintiff in it, who gave this heartfelt story about staying up late to study for a test?
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, sometimes you study for a test and it doesn't go your way. and that's the whole thing, is at the end of the day, all this was about was, okay, the law said the test was screwed. Take the test again take another test.
Right. Sonia Sotomayor, by the way, took a lot of tests and passed a lot of tests, and still she might not have become a Supreme Court justice because, as you mentioned, Lindsey Graham is a skeevy son of a bitch.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, all of them that would have thrown their white bodies and their white children's bodies in her way to block her as she was making her way up.
Yeah, but you make the best observation when you say Sotomayor, who, let's face it, is not a liberal, will kick senators in the ball sack. And I think
that's
that is
true.
The best observation.
Yeah.
Because she just ran circles around them intellectually, in my opinion.
Well, you know, she knew, you know, the bar was set so low in the more recent hearings, in the Roberts and Alito hearings, for not saying a damn thing and trying to get the job, not revealing anything. I mean, even going back to Ginsburg, she said flat out, okay, I've ruled on abortion, here's what I said about it. She was more upfront, but you know, anybody looking at her career rationally, I mean, honestly, even though I bash Bill O'Reilly justifiably, he even said, look, you know what, He was even more rational than the senators. And when O'Reilly becomes the measure of your rationality,
yes,
then your party is way lost.
Yeah, it's lost. Now, by the way, before you go, in your earlier post, why Bill O'Reilly ought to be sodomized with a microphone, you noted the same thing that we have several times, and how hilarious is it that he actually takes up large segments of what is a news show with a body language expert to make wildly speculative comments about people.
And what is a body language expert? I still haven't figured that out. I mean, I know that they're on shows all the time, but wow, what a great scam. And
yes.
She says on her website, I have a degree in general studies, and I believe strongly in hypnosis. I just was looking for the part where she said, and I also think leprechauns are around.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Now, I'm going to be in San Francisco for an event on Saturday, and what a weekend for San Francisco. You will be there Sunday to speak at an event at Labor Fest entitled How Upton Sinclair Would Kick Arnold Schwarzenegger's Ass.
Yeah, there's my scholarly geek side coming out. Yeah, it's at the Community Music Center on Sunday evening at 7:30. I saw that you have a link up on your site, and I'll have a link up on mine. There's going to be music. I'm going to be, you know, talking about comparing Upton Sinclair and his project to end poverty in California versus Arnold Schwarzenegger starring in Commando.
You know, in case you haven't been told, your website is rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Oh, did I say rudepundit.com?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't think you said, so, yeah, we're saying.
And guess what?
I appreciate the plug.
You will be a guest every Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show because you are still in my favor.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yay.
I feel like a firefighter who passed a test.
You're my papa. Thank you, Lee Papa Rude Pundit.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes.
Yay!
Our buddy, our pal. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the healthcare and me horsewhipping Chris Lavoie as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jennifer in Alaska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Jennifer.
How are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, Mooks, this is Chugiak, Alaska. Remember me?
Yeah,
Chugiak, sure, Alaska in the hizzy.
Six more days and Sarah's going to Twitter her way right out of the office.
Yeah, and then bye.
I know, and she's all your problem now. She's going to be coming down the lower 48 telling you guys how to run things.
I thought she was all about Alaska.
Not anymore. You guys have more money down there.
Yeah, exactly.
She's going to be on Fox News debating Al Franken.
Oh, dear God. She went on her little farewell tour, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
She said it's not a farewell. It's a thank you.
Villages she could find. 80 people in one village.
She went to the place where Todd races his snow machine, doesn't
he? Todd!
Todd!
And her kids trip, twit, twat, what I don't
know. Oh, no. There. Okay. See, there we go.
All righty then. Bye-bye.
All right then. Bye-bye. See, that was the joke that finally scared her from office.
You know, they do have TV studios in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you can do it by satellite, you know.
You can do it by satellite, but she didn't want to, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Run her out of town in a reel.
Bill in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show about Glenn Beck. Hello, Bill.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to let people know that if Glenn Beck is advocating carrying a star out of the American flag, he is advocating breaking the law. That is against the federal law. And I thought the conservatives were the ones that were also upset about flag desecration.
Ah,
that's true.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, apparently Minnesota gets to lose a star for why, Chris? For electing Al Franken, I guess.
Something like that.
Okie dokie, then.
He's such a tool.
Oh, Lord. All right. So the president on Friday came out and to urge people to buck up on this health care debate. Mm-hmm. He said, we are going to get this done. We will reform health care. It will happen this year. I'm absolutely convinced of that. He said, without the overhaul, no one's health insurance is going to be secure because you're going to continue to see premiums going up at astronomical rates. The president.
Make no mistake. If we step back from this challenge at this moment, we are consigning our children to a future of skyrocketing premiums and crushing deficits.
He rebutted the most frequent critiques from what he called the special interests and their agents in Congress who oppose legislation to expand coverage. He said, he made a good point, once you've seen enough ads and heard enough people yelling on TV, I think he's talking about me. Among
yeah.
I was yelling on TV about it on Friday.
Twice.
On the Ed Show. And then on CNBC.
Yes.
Can I make a confession?
What?
I was really drunk for the CNBC thing. Yeah. I had a gap, Jim, of time, and CNBC is at Universal.
Yeah.
So I had a bit.
Went
had
to City Walk and.
Yeah, I had to go to City Walk. Uh-huh.
Did you really go to City Walk and get drunk?
Uh huh.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Well, I have to go on CNBC. You know why? Because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Did they ask you a bunch of business questions?
Yeah, I have no idea why they keep calling me.
Are they that desperate?
Apparently. Apparently. I'm like, I don't really talk about business.
Whatever.
Okay, well,
see,
fine.
Ron and Sana or Stephanie Miller?
Yeah. Maria Bartiromo.
You know what? It doesn't matter because you're just one of like 17 people in little boxes, and all you do is just scream, and you're fine. That is ridiculous about healthcare. You just do that, and it's fine.
You know, from a producer's standpoint, that doesn't sound like good television.
Mm.
How many people did they really have screaming with you?
And I contribute to that. I think there's like five people on at once. You're just a little. Well, and first of all, you can barely see you because there's ticker tape under you and the thing, and then there's the guy, the
flying
host
graphics
in the middle, and there's flying graphics, and then, it's like a Brady Bunch on crack.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, dear.
Okay, he said, once you've seen enough ads and heard enough people yelling on TV, you might begin to wonder whether there's a grain of truth to what they're saying, which is true, Chris, like
sure.
You're saying. Polls will move. You know, it's not like this hasn't happened before where, you have the fear-mongering works for a minute. Obama pledged not to sign any health plan that adds to our deficits over the next decade. He also talked about, he said, Michelle and I don't want anyone telling us who our family's doctor should be, and no one should decide that for you either. Under our proposals, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance, period. End of story.
That's communism.
Well, because the problem is Republicans keep telling lies. They keep saying it over and over and over again. Oh, you aren't going to get to choose your doctor. Oh, you aren't going to let me.
But they know that if you repeat a lie enough times, mm-hmm. it becomes the truth.
Well, that's why the president is out telling the truth.
And he's going to be doing a primetime news conference on Wednesday night.
On health care, I assume. Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
As for the general notion that his plans include socialized medicine, gee, where have we heard that? Oh, every night on Fox, every minute of every day. He said, I don't think that government can or should run health care, but I also don't think insurance companies should have free rein to do as they please, which is obviously what is really at the crux of what he wants here, the president.
We actually believe that about two-thirds of the costs of reforming health care could be achieved through these savings alone without any new revenue. Of course, that still leaves one-third of the costs in order for us to cover all Americans that we're still going to have to find a way to pay for.
And that's the bugaboo.
Yes, exactly. Here's what we don't need anymore is more spineless Democrats. The headline, Democrats beginning to balk at Obama. Might that Midas magic be dulling for President Obama, even among fellow Democrats, is the Associated Press story. Conservative House Democrats.
I think they may have gotten some more checks from the insurance industry.
Yeah, exactly. They just cashed them on Friday. Friday's check cashing day, Jim.
I believe in health care. Oh, thank you very much. Never mind. I've got stuff to do.
A key Senate Democrat, Max Baucus, who I think takes a dime or two from the insurance companies, complains that Obama's position on paying for it with a tax on health benefits is not helping us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I agree with the president. I don't think you should tax benefits. I don't think that's the way to do it. Obama continues to be comparatively popular, but a now recent national survey has shown a measurable drop in his approval rating. A CBS News survey out this week had his national approval rating at 57%. His standing among Democrats down 10 percentage points since last month, 92% to 82%.
That's a big drop. 10% in a month?
Yeah.
I think
all these Wall Street pigs who are living off our tax money now should tithe.
Yes, thank you.
To health care. They could pay for it with their bonuses.
Yeah, thank you. 57 minutes after the hour. Joan Rivers has gotten a new TV show. We'll talk about it next in Tinsel Talk and much more on health care and the Sonia Sotomayor vote as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. If you missed the rude pundit, that will be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. You can also email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice of deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on the remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/open house for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. Thank you, GM.
Oh, damn, I was going to get a Corvette, too.
No.
Complete says no.
All right. The president opening his can of health care whoop-ass on Friday.
This is what the debate in Congress is all about. Whether we'll keep talking and tinkering and letting this problem fester as more families and businesses go under and more Americans lose their coverage, or whether we'll seize this opportunity, one we might not have again for generations, and finally pass health insurance reform this year in 2009.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of, Chris, the immigration reform legislation, where the Republicans, it's just whining and screaming, and it's amnesty, it's amnesty, and then they did nothing, and what did that do? It gave millions of illegal immigrants amnesty, but doing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland, on the health care debate.
There's no doubt that the bill is going to have changes as it moves through the process. I would be shocked as a legislator if that was not the case.
Yeah, this is what I was mentioning. Nancy Pelosi said, this is how legislation works. This is how it's done. You know, so I look forward to the president's speech on Wednesday, where he will open, I think, yet another can of whoop-ass. Hey, here's some fun facts. Jim, this is probably just a weird coincidence, but, you know, a lot of the senators that wrote the letter about, slow down, and we did. Huh, they're getting a lot of money from the healthcare industry.
Yeah. That's weird.
Senator Max Baucus, almost $4 million. Huh.
Wow. I'm sure there's no connection.
Mary Landrieu, almost $2 million. Senator Lieberman, $3.4 million. Senator Ben Nelson, over $2 million. Huh. Interesting. Thank you, Julie from Seattle.
Those are the people who are fighting against it. Must be a coincidence.
Hmm. That's weird. Okay. By the way, check out the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. I will be in San Francisco this Saturday, July 25th.
That's right.
For Girls Night Out, courtesy of Green 960, our station up there. And I will be in Seattle August 8th for the town hall, along with Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Go to the calendar section to figure out how to get tickets for all that. All right. And are you going to come make an appearance, Chris LeBoy?
I've been told I will.
Oh.
So
you're the only non-chick that will be let in, apparently.
Well, yeah. I wrote to the program director, John Scott, and said, am I allowed to go to this thing? He's like, yeah, we'll make an exception for you. All right. Thanks.
You will have to leave your nads at the door.
No.
All right. listener Clinton, Atlanta, by popular demand, we are playing the Glenn Beck Fifth Symphony.
Well, they say Beethoven hated sopranos. He's going to make them screech like that for...
You can't hear that one enough. Well, I don't know how your weekend was, but at least the Wienermobile didn't crash into your front porch.
Oh.
One southern Wisconsin homeowner is probably not in love with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. The famed hot dogs Wienermobile crashed into the deck and garage of a home in Mount Pleasant, about 35 miles south of Milwaukee. Sucks to be them. All right.
Yes,
that's a giant.
Only they were a truck full of mustard and grilled onions.
Yeah, like, then you got a party.
Yeah.
Ew, all right. Grilled onions.
Yeah.
Blech.
You're weird.
Yeah.
Ew, onions, garlic. Ooh.
No, I love garlic. I don't like onions.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Let's check some entertainment news quickly, shall we?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Joan Rivers returns to TV. Okay. She returns as hostess of the original TV Land series, How'd You Get So Rich? Premiering Wednesday, August 5th, she takes viewers on a journey to meet the millionaires who've worked hard and struck gold inventing and creating and marketing things that dumb people like you and I buy.
Yeah.
We have a...
And that Billy Mays sells.
Yes.
Well, used to.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Oops. How about Vince?
If only somebody would have sold something to keep Billy Mays alive.
Well,
that would have helped. There you go.
Uh-huh. A helmet, perhaps.
Oh.
Jam. Okay, we have... Who do we have?
Wait, it's a promo for the show.
Good.
From the producers of How Is It That You Still Have a Career and Who Knew She Was Still Alive, it's How the F*** Did You Get So F***ing Rich? On tonight's episode, Dr. Melvin Pisher, plastic surgeon and embalmer to the stars, explains his foolproof method to siphon big bucks from aging celebrity has-beens.
First, practice on cadavers, because that's pretty much what you have to work with. Second, have lunch at Spago's or Ladome and loudly comment on how so-and-so, insert aging female celebrity, has been here, preferably one who's sitting at an adjacent table, how so-and-so is beginning to look like Ed Koch on a bad day, and accidentally drop your business cards all over the restaurant. Now come running, checkbook in hand, trust me, works every time. Can we talk? Well, if by we you mean you, then no. At least not until the scar tissue heals and you stop looking like the Joker in a wind tunnel in about a year and a half. And may I just say, ka-ching.
That's How the F*** Did You Get So F***ing Rich? Immediately followed by, holy crap, what the F*** did you do to her f***ing face? Don't miss it.
And, that music was done just in time. Thank you. Okay, and, finally, the headline is, Paula Abdul's manager, she'll leave idle if rude producers don't step up the new deal.
Oh, no.
Speaking of aging female husbands.
Well.
Oh, come on now. Paula Abdul is unhappy, and unless the producers of American Idol change her frown to a smile soon, she'll dance like there's no tomorrow. Away from the TV's number one show.
And they'll find some other drunken slag?
Apparently.
No.
Allegedly.
Stephanie Miller.
Why not? Abdul's manager said, very sadly, it does not appear that she's going to be back on Idol. I find under these circumstances particularly unusual. I think it's unnecessarily hurtful. I find it kind of unconscionable and certainly rude and, wow, he's over the top, and rude and disrespectful that they haven't stepped up and said what they want to do.
Hmm.
We have, Simon.
So that perennially sozzled Miss Abdul has gone and got herself a new agent, and he's decided to put the pressure on the producers of American Idol by threatening to pull Paula from the show. As I heard somewhere once, how's that working out for you, son? My response? Oh, please don't throw me into that briar patch, whatever you do. It's akin to threatening Amy Winehouse with free wine and gin for life. It's like taking Goldman Sachs to the woodshed for fiscal irresponsibility and throwing wads of $1,000 bills at them. Please, sir, may I have another? It would be like throwing Bill Clinton into a women's prison. I personally long since ceased feeling we were getting our money's worth from Miss Briar Patch's performance. Yes, I know, something you don't deal with it. What? I don't know what that means. 15 minutes of lucidity, followed by an accelerated demonstration of the effects of multiple sclerosis culminating with a petit mal seizure, is not a story arc that bears repeating. I'll tell you what, Sonny Jim, you find other employment for your charge, and we'll make do with a Paula Abdul bobblehead doll with a soundtrack by Enver Hoxha, the late president of Albania. It will be an improvement. I'm just being honest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why they moved...
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Durant.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true Thailand. Stephanie Miller. StephanieMiller.com.
Buy the
album.
Thank you. Hey, Squeezy, are you still allowed to do Squeezy Stack now that you're newly married, Jim? But I thought you should know.
I think I know where you're going with
that. Denise Richards regularly checks into hotels for secret, no strings attached sex sessions with male friends.
Friends with benefits. Oh, my.
boy.
Jim's been asking for these benefits here at Stephanie Miller International for quite some time.
Yeah, have you, are you successful yet?
No. The actress has been single since her split from ex-husband Charlie Sheen. She prefers to get her kicks from rendezvous with Friends with Benefits.
From what?
Friends with Benefits. He said, you don't want to bring them home to your house, but I have certain needs. Friends with Benefits are awesome. I used to be like, oh, no, you have to be in a relationship. But after going through a divorce, I'm like, life is short. I want to have a good time.
Damn. I should have had a better time after my divorce. Should have hooked up with Denise. Oh, she was still with Charlie.
I'm sure she would have hooked up with you, though.
Yeah, sure.
That's got to be the hottest thing ever for men and women that doesn't want a relationship. Yes! All right.
And she's had her tubes tied. Yes!
All right. Jackie Chan says Will Smith's son can kick his son's ass. His Kung Fu Kid co-star Jaden Smith, that's Will Smith's son. He says co-star Jaden Smith's dedication to martial arts puts his own son to shame.
So he can snatch the pebble from his hand.
Apparently. He said he was deeply impressed by the younger Smith's progress when he visited Los Angeles last month. And kid kicked him in the head. Okay.
That's a false ending on that, doesn't it?
All right. There could be a new king emerging in late-night television, David Letterman. Yoo-hoo!
I like Letterman. Time.
Yeah, do
too. I know.
Can't watch him anymore.
Ooh, NBC might be rethinking that whole... I don't know. Every time they do something to Jay Leno, I don't know. Letterman whipped The Tonight Show in the ratings last week by 800,000 viewers, according to Nielsen. Letterman, as you know, had lost to The Tonight Show when Jay Leno was the host. He hasn't had that big a victory margin since returning from heart surgery in 2000. Generation gap, though, it appears to be widening. An 18 to 49 demographic, O'Brien is winning in that. But let me see here. Letterman averaged 3.68 million viewers last week to O'Brien's 2.82 million.
Wow.
Go, David Letterman.
I think the Sarah Palin thing is working very much in his favor.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
See, he's still got a job.
That's going to make Greta Van Susteren's head explode.
Chuck in Virginia wants to chime in on health care. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to make 2 points. I did 21 years in the military under a government-run health system where I didn't get to pick my doctor. I didn't get to pick my facility. Yet it worked good, and I think if it's good enough for our service members, why isn't it good enough for Glenn Beck?
Yeah.
The second point is since I've retired, I'm still on a government-run health care system, which far exceeds anything that anybody that I work with here. I mean, I get to see my doctor. The government in 5 years has yet to deny any kind of a consult that my doctor has recommended. And I'll tell you, I love standing in line at the pharmacy, and I pay $3 copay and watch other people pay $75 and $80 for a prescription. So, I love my government run here.
Well,
so.
You know, Chuck, it's that example, and the congressman and senator's own health plan is a government-run plan, which works spectacularly well as well. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, I mean, it's you know, you can make one case after another, and people still don't seem to get it. They seem this fear-mongering on, it's government-run.
Like, apparently Joe McCarthy is right. The army's full of communists living on socialist health care.
Apparently. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, the president's big speech coming up on Wednesday on health care. But he opened a mini can of whoop-ass. We'll have some more of that crunchy audio goodness when we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. So the president talking a lot about health care over the weekend, both on Friday at the press conference and his address on Saturday, radio address.
I want to be very clear. I will not sign on to any health plan that adds to our deficits over the next decade. And by helping improve quality and efficiency, The reforms we make will help bring our deficits under control in the long term.
Oh, the headline just makes me barf. New York Times, Dems grow wary as health bill advances, because that's what we do. That's what we do.
Wait a minute. Somebody might not agree with something I vote for. I mean, careful.
The president's
just don't move. Everything will be fine.
The president moved, just appropriating dropped a point. Three of the five congressional committees working on
10 points,
legislation to reinvent the Three of the five congressional committees working on legislation to reinvent the nation's healthcare system delivered bills this week along the lines proposed by President Obama, but instead of celebrating their success, many Democrats were apprehensive, nervous, and defensive. You're not defensive, are you, Chris?
I'm not being defensive. You're the one who's being defensive.
Mm-hmm. Even as Democratic leaders in the White House insisted the nation was closer than ever to landmark changes in the healthcare system, they faced basic questions about whether some of their proposals might do more harm than good, while senior Democrats vowed to press ahead to meet Mr. Obama's deadline of having both chambers pass bills before the summer recess, some in their ranks nervous about the prospects of raising taxes or proceeding without any Republican support. We're pleading to slow down. Here's a little tip for you. We're not going to get any Republican votes anyway. You know what's happening again, Jim? Esmeralda's in charge. Senator Ghostly. This is the problem. What's her name? Susan Collins, the one that looks like Esmeralda on Bewitched. You know who I'm talking about.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine, yes.
She's going to make health care disappear, just like she made the funding for pandemic flu disappear. At the latest sign of lawmakers chafing at Mr. Obama's ambitious timetable, a bipartisan group of six senators, including...
Esmeralda.
Sent a letter to Senate leaders pleading with them to allow more time. The group included, weirdly, Jim, a lot of those same senators I just read that get a lot of money from the insurance companies. Ben Nelson, of Alaska, Olympia Snow, and Susan Collins. Ben Nelson, a Democrat of Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska. I thought you said Alaska.
No, okay. Nebraska. And Esmeralda. Who makes everything good disappear. This is the problem. We always, this is what happens. We get to this, it's got to be bipartisan and we have to keep Esmeralda happy.
No.
And then we, Exactly.
Hell with the Republicans. We don't need them.
Yeah.
They're not going to vote for anything anyway.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman's in there, the devoted Democrat. Okay. The president in his radio address.
Those who oppose reform will also tell you that under our plan, you won't get to choose your doctor. That some bureaucrat will choose for you. That's also not true. Michelle and I don't want anyone telling us who our family doctor should be, and no one should decide that for you either. Under our proposal, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance. Period. End of story.
Yeah, once again, it seems like, as he has many times, he has to just fight complete untruths. The Republicans just keep repeating it, and then he has to go back on TV and go, no, you're not going to lose your choice of doctor plan, whatever. Administration officials defended President Obama's health care proposals on Sunday, urged the skeptical public not to judge the Democrats' overhaul until Congress writes a final version. That's the thing. I think people are overreacting to bits and pieces of things. This is a work in progress, said Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius yesterday, trying to calm nervous lawmakers whose reelections could hinge on the legislation. More will be done. The House and the Senate are committed to working with the president to get this done. So, I just think we need to hold on a minute.
That's
while
right.
The sausage is being made. I will tell you what Ted Kennedy had to say about all this, as well as...
Sorry.
Oh, are you okay?
I'm fine.
And what did Mick Jagger have to say about it?
He said, get off my healthcare cloud. 28 minutes after the hour, back with all that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sitting there with her curly ebony locks and those pouty come-hither lips. My God, she's unappealing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the fun number. It's the fun number. It's a phone number and a fun number. to join the fun on healthcare.
That's the 1-900 number, I think.
Yeah, that's 1-900 step 1-2.
Hello, Sean. Sean from North Dakota, welcome.
Hi. I've been listening to Rush and Sean. I agree with you guys 100%. But they're saying that if you have service, your health insurance, you get to keep it, but once you lose it after the first of the year or whatever, then you have to go to the government system is what's
false.
In the bill or whatever.
Completely that's false.
Yes. Here's a little tip for you when listening in the future to Rush and Sean. They are lying.
You're lying. Right.
Yes. Keep that in mind when you're listening.
All right.
All right. All right. Thank you. Okay. Just go with that. When in doubt, you must remember that.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
See, the deal is the insurance company's been making money off denying people coverage, mm-hmm. and we're threatening to take their binky away, and they're using every outlet at their disposal to throw crap into the air.
Yes. And to take fruit drinks away from nice white families that are trying to fish at a lake somewhere.
Whatever.
Something un-American.
Tell your government we don't need commie health care and stop taxing our fruity, juicy, sugary drink things.
Things with the,
Are they going to take away your grape juice, Stephanie?
One would hope not. Mama's adult grape juice?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the problem. Didn't we have some guy call last week? They're going to criminalize me if I don't. They're going to, Rush says they'll throw me in jail if I don't. No.
Computer says nah.
Okay, Stephanie and Madison on healthcare. Hey, Steph.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Yeah.
You know, I have to agree a little bit with Chris and be pessimistic. Just because these other Republicans, the blue slimes is what I'm starting to call them, is that, you know, they're very Republican-like. But the thing is...
They're the Smurf Democrats.
Yeah, they're assholes. But
All right.
I'm sorry. No, but what we need to do is just keep pumping the public option and make everybody call. You know, it's enjoyable to call mine. I have Russ Feingold and Tammy Baldwin, you know, and then call. Well, anyway, but so I just want real quick pump. We're going to have a Healthcare for All. It's a rally. It's a march down on Saturday, July 25th. Starts at 2:30, and we're going to march to the Capitol.
All right.
For public option, man.
All right. All right. Do that where you live, for God's sakes. Take a page from Manhattan. Madison. Wisconsin.
What is wrong with you?
I'm drunk. It's the weekend
I think she might have been a little high.
Stephanie and Madison?
No, yeah.
Speaking of Wisconsin, Vince is in Oshkosh, by gosh. Hello, Vince.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
For the air show, getting ready for the air show next week. Hey, but I want to talk about how Democrats... It's not about what the Republicans are doing. It's the spineless Democrats.
That's right. I mean, we got to count on that the Republicans aren't going to, none of them are going to be for this.
Yeah, and so why do we worry about the Republicans? And I think they got us over a barrel here. I'm thinking that they know that the Democrats are scared, so they'll just put out any lie, have you believe it, and the Democrats get scared about it, man. If we do not get a spine, there needs to be a third party.
Well, I'm not for that. I do have one question. Is everyone in Wisconsin high this morning, or is it just me thus far?
Yeah.
Getting ready for the
air show. You know, I'll be flying, but I won't be in a plane.
Joe in Long Beach, who presumably is not high. Hello, Joe.
Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm a good bleeding heart and totally believe in the, the national health care plan. But as much as I hear a lot about needing to get the insurance component out of this, I don't hear enough about being able to reduce the hospital costs, you know, and that's a big part of this. I mean, if...
That's also in the bill.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, but I don't hear enough discussion about it, you know.
You're hearing more about the public option, but that obviously is a big, point of discussion in Congress.
Yeah, charging $500 for an aspirin.
Well, you know what, when people are trying to make the case that the cost is not going to be exorbitant, you know, they need to say how they're going to keep the cost down. And one of the ways that they can make that point is by saying that they are going to reduce hospital costs in such and such a way. And I think that that is lost in this debate, and they need to really get out in front of it. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Owen, thank you.
Well, that's how they're going to help pay for it, is through eliminating inefficiencies and bringing down costs by negotiating prices for things.
Mm-hmm. Senator Ted Kennedy wrote an essay for Newsweek about the policy that has guided his decades in the Senate. He writes, unless we act now, within a few years, 55 million Americans could be left without coverage, even as the economy recovers. All Americans should be required to have insurance. For those who can't afford the premiums, we can provide subsidies. So
he's been talking about this for at least 35 years.
Yeah, Jim was saying we were watching the documentary on Ted Kennedy, and had things gone differently in his life, we might actually have health care in this country.
If it hadn't been for Chappaquiddick, he might very well have won the presidency in 1980, and things would be very different. This would be a better country.
Tom in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning. I was calling to say that until we get campaign finance reform, we're not going to get a decent health care program.
I was just reading the list of like what all these senators that have written this letter to the president to slow down, what they're all getting from health insurance companies.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's like the blue ball Democrats and the Republicans would all be supporting single payer if they were just getting supported by the people that vote for them.
I think the good news is, Chris, everyone is drunk this morning, like Mama or High. And we have a little case of the potty mouth on the show this morning.
We certainly do.
Okie dokie, then.
Where the bleep would they get the idea that was bleeping okay?
That's okay.
Let me bleep that.
Okay, on this show. Okay. The president, I think we're just going to play a soundbite because presumably there will be no swear words in it.
I don't believe that government can or should run health care. But I also don't think insurance companies should have free reign to do as they please. That's why any plan I sign must include an insurance exchange, a one-stop shopping marketplace where you can compare the benefits, costs, and track records of a variety of plans, including a public option to increase competition and keep insurance companies honest, and choose what's best for your family.
That seems like that would be bad news for the insurance companies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What? Compare and...
More competition.
Huh? Competitive prey. Huh?
What? What are you, a commie? Oh, wait a minute.
It reminds me of that commercial on the, Ditech or whoever, where, you know, the guy goes into his bank and he said, but you're going to get to compete for my business. Yeah. Don't worry. Huh? All right. The president and Saturday.
The opponents of health insurance reform would have us do nothing. But think about what doing nothing in the face of ever-increasing costs will do to you and your family. So today I'm urging the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, to seize this opportunity and vote for reform that gives the American people the best care at the lowest cost, that reins in insurance companies, strengthens businesses, and finally gives families the choices they need and the security they deserve.
Yeah, I'll get right on that right after I cash the check from the insurance.
I believe it was LendingTree, not Ditech.
I don't want to tick off a
potential.
The guy
sponsor.
Goes to his bank and sees his guy, and he assumes he's going to get the loan. And the guy says no, but you get to compete. And the other guy goes, okay.
And then this more current one says, but Sarah, you work here.
Yeah, I know. Awkward.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, on healthcare. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Listen. This is so simple that I'm just, of course, politicians wouldn't think about it, but this is how you pay for health care. You want to know how to pay for it?
Yes.
One, close the corporate loopholes. ExxonMobil, Goldman Sachs, none of these people pay the taxes they should. Mm-hmm. They pay their fair tax rate. One, we got an enormous amount of money coming in the Treasury. Two, eliminate the FICA cap. If you're lucky enough to make over $102,000 a year, the tiny percentage you pay in FICA, why should it be capped? Just keep paying into it. Number three, what he said, tax, whether you call it eliminating the Bush tax benefits for the rich or letting the rich pay a surcharge. Senator Rockefeller, Jay Rockefeller, the other day said if we did just the repeal on the tax to the rich, you know, we just increased taxes for the rich, the small amount, they would already be able to pay for every American to receive health care. This is not that hard. They make it hard because the Republicans will, this is Obama's baby. So if Obama is successful, he wins. So why would a Republican want to be behind it?
Yeah, no, this is exactly it. It is the Rush Limbaugh strategy. They want him to fail. You have to understand.
Precisely. And so, exactly. So there's no
No, why are they behind, aren't for it? Well, duh, of course
yeah.
they're not
Yeah,
for
exactly.
It.
Why do we need to reach out to get bipartisan to help
exactly.
Republicans? They want him to fail.
They want to destroy the country so they have
yes.
something to run on in 2012.
Yeah.
And he'll get the credit if we are successful. So, of course, they're going to do everything in their power to go against
him. I mean,
Sue,
look at...
to be smarter.
Yeah, so look at this, like the stimulus money. A lot of these Republican governors, they're not using it for what they're supposed to be using it for. Because why? Because they want him to fail.
Yeah.
You know,
and I have to tell you, here in Maryland, we're using it. You should see the road construction and the things that are going on here. And it's fantastic because it's really people are working.
Hey, but I thought the government can't create jobs. That's
yeah.
what the Republicans keep saying.
Exactly. Sue, you are the smartest girl in class today.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. See, people love
you
that
know what
honor.
Goldman Sachs paid in taxes last year? 1%.
Ah!
1%. That's less than
nice to see that
individual bonuses for some of these jerks. Who are...
Nice to see that they're out of the woods so quickly, isn't
yeah.
it? Interesting. They're very resilient. 44 minutes after the hour. Just check out Matt Taibbi's article in Rolling Stone to see how resilient they are. They're plucky, pull up the bootstraps kind of folks. 44 minutes after the hour. Back with more on healthcare as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Brian in Madison on healthcare. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I am in Wisconsin and I'm not high, but
okay.
I wish I was.
But you wish you were. Okay.
All right.
I used to work for an insurance company, and we processed, we had some government contracts called CHAMPUS, the Civilian Health and Military Program for the Uniformed Services.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to deal a lot with medical claims. And one of the reasons the hospitals charge $500 for an aspirin is somebody shows up at the door, they can't turn them away, whether they have insurance or anyone to pay for their care or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the hospitals turn around and they try to make that money back by charging companies that they, you know, like Medicare and other insurance companies that will pay.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's also a lot of things like, you know, just common decency would require that you provide to somebody. Private insurance companies won't pay for them, so they bill Medicare, so they make it up by billing Medicare patients, you know, $5 for a little trial-sized deodorant.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. All right, thank you for that. Let's go to Ken in Montgomery, Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate as well. Hi, Ken.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, on the $500 aspirin, I've been in healthcare management for about 25 years now. I don't think that there's a very good understanding in the general public, people being served in hospitals, about how hospital cost is allocated. The majority of cost in hospitals is payroll. And that, you know, you don't get a bill for nursing, techs, pharmacy, you know, those sorts of workers who are in and out of your room, it all gets tagged into that $500 aspirin. And yes, that, you know, uninsured is a terrible problem for most hospitals. Anything to bring more insured patients into the population is a good thing. But that's how you come up with the $500 aspirin.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But an aspirin doesn't cost $500,
no.
So that's...
No, what do they think
little...
this is, a toilet seat for the military? This is a... All right, Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the healthcare schedule.
We are on our schedule to bring up the legislation before the break.
Not sure about that. Are you, Christopher?
Are you being Miss Gloomy Gasoline?
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying I think it will get done. But I don't know. She seemed to hedge a little bit on whether it would be before the August recess or not. And it seemed like...
And you're being awful pessimistic over there, Stephanie Louise Miller.
And then after the recess...
Don't you play Freaky Friday with me.
Campaigning for 2010.
Yeah.
So nothing will get done then either.
Yeah. That's why I would like to see it get done.
It's not going to get done.
President Obama defended his health care overhaul on Saturday, calling it fiscally sound, urging Congress not to squander its moment to pass a reform. So stepping up their criticism, Republicans cast the plan as a financial burden that shouldn't be rushed.
Oh,
That, Jim, you're exactly right. Yeah. Everything they do is political now. It shouldn't be rushed because they want to wait until we're into the next campaigns.
Right.
And then it's too. Yeah.
So, hey, look, it failed. Why didn't he do anything about it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I don't know. That's the thing. The White House is saying no. The president still wants his timetable, but I don't know. It seemed like Nancy Pelosi opened the door to pushing off the vote past early August, the timeline that she and the president had agreed to. She said we'll have to see what the Senate will do before suggesting that changing the bill to produce more savings might require additional time. Representative Jared Polis, am I saying that right? We've had him on.
Either one's fine, I think.
Democrat of Colorado.
The only solution is not to add new taxes to things, especially at a time when our economy is in recession. So as a last resort, if there's a revenue gap, let's find a creative way to fill it that doesn't hurt small business, but let's look at every alternative first.
All right. Nancy Pelosi said, this is the legislative process. This is how they're trying to figure this out. How you pay for it? What's the best way to pay for it? You know, look, I'm not for taxing benefits, but that's one way to pay for it. So
I think we should tax the bailout to Goldman Sachs and all those other clowns.
Jim's on his Goldman Sachs rant. They should pay for everything now.
Yes.
Exactly.
50% tax on everything we paid them.
Uh-huh. All right. Representative Eric Cantor, the owner of the largest Adam's apple in the Republican Party, except for Ann Coulter.
And Ken Melman. I think Ken Melman's is slightly bigger.
I'd like to see an Adam's apple off. I would like a contest. Okay.
The problem with the stimulus plan that passed back in January, it just wasn't targeted to get people hired again. And we've got now a situation where unemployment is nearing 10%.
Because, as I mentioned, a lot of the Republican governors not spending the money.
Right.
For the
way
they're supposed to be,
working.
Because it's almost like they want the president to fail. Where could they have gotten that idea?
It's just not being spent in the right places. I can't explain it. I don't know why. Oh, well.
Kevin Madden on the Situation Room.
The biggest problem, again, for the president is that members of his own party are starting to fall away from him because they're pushed away by the specifics. James talked about that this bill may not do enough. Well, I think a lot of people are worried that this bill is doing too much. There's plenty of health care in there, $1 trillion worth, but there's not a whole lot of reform. So I think that the president right now is on the defensive. He feels like he's losing this debate a little bit, and Wednesday night's going to be an attempt again, like today, to try and reset the narrative.
That's what presidents do, is they have to, and particularly this one, has to keep combating blatant Republican lies and fear-mongering on health care. John in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, John.
Hey, Stephanie. Love you.
Thank you.
The MOOCs.
Thank you.
I think what we need to do as a country and what Obama needs to do as our leader is to spin this health care with a patriotic theme. What I see is like a flag waving in the background in an ad, God Bless America playing also in the background for the music, and maybe a Wellstone quote or somebody along those lines saying the character of a country is seen as how they treat their poorest citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's go to Richard in Frederick, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Steph. How are you?
Hello. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Here's a couple ideas of mine I think could easily fund health care reform. We should have a windfall tax on both the financial industry and gun manufacturers because they are making money hand over fist, especially the financial industry these days. Also, we should probably use a portion of the presidential campaign fund when people check off the yes on the tax returns. If they want like $3 to go toward the fund, we could siphon a little bit of that money every year to go toward the health care reform.
Yep. Hmm. All right. See,
we have another box we could check. You want to give $5 for the health care reform? Sure.
Already check. I already have about seven boxes to check.
I don't check any of the boxes because I'm cheap.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, welcome. By the way, we're still high here in Madison from the Ed Schultz Show. It's second highest I've ever been. The first was when you guys were in town. I would suggest to everyone to watch MSNBC and Ed Schultz because he's going to take Max Baucan to task tonight. And Kate Baldwin was there. She said she'd be willing to give up her break in August to get this done. And I think
I'm telling you, I was just on Ed's show Friday, and I'm telling you, by the time he gets done knocking some Blue Dog Democrats together, we might just get this done.
We are going to get it done. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
should encourage the Republicans to go on break and the Democrats stay at work.
Yeah.
Getting stuff done.
Ed's the Larry the Cable Guy of the Democratic Party. We're going to get her done.
That's right.
57 minutes after the hour. Investigate. I like the sound of that. We'll tell you who's investigating what when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, if you missed the Rude Pundit in hour number one, it'll be posted up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. He is hilarious. You have to read his latest blog on why Bill O'Reilly should be sodomized with a microphone, I believe.
That's right.
Something like that. Hilarious. Okay, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an estimated 32 miles per gallon highway, up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Yay, GM, yay. All right, the president opening a mini can of whoop-ass on health care over the weekend. He will open a bigger one on Wednesday, the president.
But I have to say, now is not the time to slow down. And now is certainly not the time to lose heart.
That's right. And just remember, for people that listen to Chris Lavoie say health care will not get done on Friday, remember he's been wrong about virtually everything about the president.
What have I been wrong about?
He wasn't going to win the primary. He wasn't going to win the general. Everything the Republicans are doing is working. I'm afraid it's working.
I never said he wasn't going to win the primary.
Yes, you did.
No.
His negative campaigning works, blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole thing. Okay.
I never said he wasn't going to win the primary, though.
Okay.
Negative campaigning does work.
Well, it didn't, did it, in the primary or in the general? So there.
It brought him down a little bit, but that's it.
That's my point.
It worked.
No one ever won any money betting against Barack Obama. Don't bet against health care yet, mister.
Uh-huh.
The president, speaking at the NAACP.
And I want all the other Barack Obamas out there, all the other Michelle Obamas out there, to have the same chance. The chance that my mother gave me, that my education gave me, that the United States of America has given me. That's how our union will be perfected and our economy rebuilt. That is how America will move forward in the next 100 years.
Yeah, Chris, so buck up, my friend.
Okay, that was inspiring. But did you hear how that little skank Laura Ingraham responded to that? Did you hear this?
I can't wait.
It's this sense of the guy who was supposed to be the racial healer, and yet his party, time and again, seems to use race in ways that it clearly is, I think, just a pandering attempt to advance a left-wing agenda.
He was talking to the NAACP.
Yeah.
Stupid whore.
Oh, Jim. Chris.
She is.
She's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Please.
I don't give a crap.
The skank and the whore and the flavin.
Whatever.
All right.
I don't give a crap.
That's going to be an uncomfortable radio conference for Mama next time.
Actually, talking about race at the NAACP.
How dare
you. Crazy.
All right. There he is being all black and everything at the NAACP.
Oh, and there were a lot of right-wing radio hosts that were saying that he put on an accent, a black accent.
Well, he does.
He does do the Oprah.
Go into preacher mode.
He does. He does the Oprah thing.
Yeah. No, he definitely.
He goes in and out, you know.
I don't think he grew up with a black accent, though. So where does it come from?
At least he doesn't scream like a little girl like Glenn Beck. By popular demand, listener Clint in Atlanta has sent us a symphony.
I encourage him to keep doing that until his larynx explodes. And
exactly.
He won't have to listen to him anymore.
And he can't say anything else stupid ever again. All right. Kids, Mama's having a party up in San Francisco this weekend.
That's right.
This Saturday, Girls Night Out with our Green 960 radio station up there. Go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com to find out how Chris Lavoie will be making a special appearance.
Do I have to?
He'll be the only non-chick let in, I believe.
I'll bring my boobs with me then.
All right. And also, I will be in Seattle on for another party on Saturday, August 8th, for the 2009 town hall we do every year in Seattle with my buddies, my pals, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Mama loves her liberal boys. All right. Speaking of boys I love, someone has sent me a future husband from the drunk stack. Speaking of the party stack this weekend, yeah, this guy is, he's a man after my own heart. Drunk man took 40 pairs of panties. I love the police report. Authorities in Tennessee said a man arrested for public intoxication had taken about 40 pairs of women's underwears from a pool party. Jason Johnson tried to flag down a vehicle down for a ride while walking along the highway. Upon closer inspection, the deputy found that Johnson smelled of alcohol, was unsteady on his feet, and had a pair of panties hanging from the unzipped fly of his pants.
That's funny!
I don't take the underwears. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Oh.
What are you talking about, Ossifer?
All right. Thank you for that, future husband.
I love that his last name is Johnson.
Pants were undone. All right. Can I have my Dragnet music, please? Oh, finally a headline that made me take heart over the weekend. House panel to investigate secret CIA program. The House Intelligence Committee will investigate whether any laws were broken. Let me just...
Computer says yes.
There, we don't have to have a hearing anymore.
No. I could save. I'm a time saver.
You are.
Dick Cheney. Okay, Dick Cheney did.
Huh.
When the CIA concealed a now-canceled counterterrorism program from Congress, the panel's chairman announced on Friday, among the things the committee will look into is whether there was any past decision or direction to withhold information from the committee.
Computer says yes.
Dick Cheney did it. Said Sylvester Reyes, Democrat of Texas, said in a statement, I intend to make this investigation fair and thorough. It is my goal that it will not become a distraction to the men and women of the CIA. Right-wing tool Pete Hoekstra?
Yes.
A Republican from Michigan said, in the absence of substantiated facts, to even speculate on potential criminal behavior shows this is little more than a partisan political theater. It continues to the politicization of the important intelligence matters.
What an investigation is for. To find out what...
To prove or...
Why must they act all senatorial and bipartisan? I don't understand. Ordering Congress something to be kept from Congress or Congress to be lied to is illegal. I understand we have to pretend like we're investigating.
According to Boner, it didn't happen.
It's not our list being lied to. We want to be lied to with the CIA. Should be the top of our list.
This program, the, what do you call it, the assassination ring for Al-Qaeda leaders. One former intelligence official said it was straight out of the movies. It was like, let's kill them all. And that's what Dick Cheney...
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill.
Shut up.
I'm just wondering if the assassination program had a domestic component.
Here's a little conspiracy sausage.
He's like Paul Wellstone. Paul Wellstone, for example.
Yeah, Dick Cheney, I don't think
he
got
the DC madam.
Got on the details of it a lot. It was just kind of, oh, death, I like that. That sounds good.
Cheney likes death.
Kill. kill,
yes.
die.
Death, kill, die.
By the
yes.
way, that lawyer I shot still's got buckshot in his face. Had it coming. And he'd call it a good start.
And he can go himself.
Yeah. By the way, so speaking of Bush administration law breaking, the warrantless wiretapping of Americans. First of all, Jim, you've heard this, that it produced absolutely nothing, essentially, for all the invasion of privacy of Americans. That it produced essentially nothing. But John Yoo, who wrote the legal memos justifying the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping, he defended the measure last week. Did you see this? He said the best way to find an Al-Qaeda operative is to look at all email, text, and phone traffic between Afghanistan and Pakistan and the U.S. This might involve the filtering of innocent traffic, just as roadblocks and airport screenings do.
Oh, just like roadblocks, yeah. This is the guy who advocated crushing children's genitals in front of their parents to get them to talk.
Because that kind of torture, I guess, was legal because we were doing it. So
yeah, that's fine. We do it.
Yeah. Okay. Rhonda in Pennsylvania on the president speaking at the NAACP. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that what he's doing is called code switching. And what it is that, you know, when you are a member, of an ethnic minority group, you have to learn how to live basically in both cultures. You have to learn how to make white folks feel comfortable. You have to learn how to make the people who are in your own culture feel comfortable. So all he was doing was what most professional black folks do and Latino folks and Asian, et cetera.
He's professionally black. He's not one of those amateur blacks, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, but, you know, those are the people who have to kind of go back and forth between worlds the most. And so he was just talking in the language and in the, you know, kind of the dialect and the cadence mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. that particular audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, and may I say, it was a barn burner of a speech, whatever code it was
agree.
In. All right.
No.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah, when I go back home to Virginia, sometimes I lapse into a little bit of a Southern accent.
You do?
Roads. Yeah, a little.
You're as phony as Madonna.
Oh!
The fake London accent.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, Sonia Sotomayor will be devastated, I'm sure, to hear that noted racist Jeff Sessions thinks she's too racist to be on the Supreme Court.
That's funny!
Noted KKK sympathizer Jeff Sessions.
Yes. He says that, he will not vote for her.
Mm.
He said, I was troubled by a number of the things the nominee said, a number of the rulings she has made. By the way, check out a number of the things that Jeff Sessions has said, by the way, and see if any of that troubles you.
Yeah. Apparently he's fine with lynching. It's smoking pot that's the really
right.
Yeah,
thing.
That was the bad thing.
He was fine with the KKK until he found out that some of them were smoking pot.
Also on the Sotomayor side, Senator Mitch McChinless.
Mitch McSpineless.
Yes.
Yeah, McLipless. Don't forget the upper lip.
We apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes. Senator Mitch McConnell is technically not chinless. He is actually lipless.
I don't know what happened to my upper lip. It disappeared one day.
And it may have happened in some sort of a hormone farming accident or something, and we apologize if that's the case.
He fell into a thresher.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
He has signaled for the past 7 weeks he had serious concerns about speeches in which Sotomayor said a wise Latina. Oh, how many times must I hear this?
How about looking at her rulings?
Yeah.
How would that be?
Uh-huh. Anyway, so he says he will vote.
Computer says no.
Sonia Sotomayor. Oh, no. The NRA is opposing Judge Sonia Sotomayor's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. The NRA executive vice president said, we believe any individual who does not agree that the Second Amendment guarantees a fundamental right should not serve on any court, much less the highest court in the land. Didn't she say that she had reached no conclusion about that in the one case that she was questioned about?
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, you wouldn't grant...
She said before in the hearing, she said she's never ruled the Second Amendment doesn't guarantee a fundamental right. She said in the case the NRA is referring to, she followed a precedent about whether a federal statute applies to states. She didn't make any new rulings.
Right.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's like it was such a dog and pony show bringing Ricci out to testify. Mm-hmm. She was respecting precedent in that case, and many of the other judges on her panel agreed on that. She wasn't even ruling on the substance of his claim. So,
and I think, you know, most of the senators from the right and left on that panel got that that part was just a dog and pony show.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the dog and pony show. And
Does that mean I have to book a dog and a pony for the next segment?
Yes, yes, yes. And what's going to happen with the Sotomayor nomination as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, that's a relief. At least for the Stephanie Miller newscast.
What?
Kim Jong-il looks okay in new photographs.
I think they might be old photographs.
What? Maybe not too sexy for his cat or his hat, but still he looks, they released new photographs of him touring a factory wearing sunglasses. Oh, that's snappy. And a short-sleeved shirt. He appeared generally okay in the images released Tuesday night.
You look like a Jack Nicholson.
Exactly. He was smiling broadly in the pictures. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton giving North Korea a little bit of a lecture. Clinton likens North Korea to unruly children.
Huh.
She says North Korea should not receive the attention it's seeking through behavior like missile launches, and likened Pyongyang's behavior to that of unruly children. I think dear leader had something to say about
that. See, I told you. Reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. To paraphrase American novelist and raconteur Samuel Clemens. I feel happy. I feel happy. But I'm not so happy with Hillary Clinton. She complained that North Korea acting like unruly children. I'm not. I know you are, but what am I? I'm rubber, you glue. Everything you say bounce off me and I stick it to you. Don't tell me I'm acting out. I'll hold my breath till I'm blue in the face. Also, you got big butt. Yeah. Keep out.
He's acting out a little bit.
A little bit.
I think. Oh, hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. Okay, let's, that was just silly. Will and that's what he said. They don't need no thought control.
Mm-hmm. No. We don't need no thought control. I control your thought.
Do we need dark sarcasm in the classroom?
No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave those kids alone. Especially you here in Creighton. You got cankle.
Okay, I just wanted to get to the chorus. Okay, let's go to Will in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hi, guys. Hey, so when you're down a mood, does that make you guys Stephanie in the moves? Anyway.
All right.
I know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about healthcare a little bit, shall we?
Let's.
You know, the thing that drives me crazy about these people talking about healthcare and, oh, it's going to cost us so much, do they just completely ignore the fact that we already spend more than everybody else?
I know. And I think I read the latest survey. Well, we're 35th in the world. Does anyone think that's okay? We have the 35th best healthcare system in the world. So when you hear these right-wing tools screaming about how we have the best healthcare anywhere, it's a bunch of, you know.
It's a lie.
We're the only ones left. You know, 20 years ago when I was talking to, you know, doctor friends and people, and they were talking about us having the best healthcare system, they aren't saying that anymore. It's only
we spend more.
We spend more, we get less. And, I mean, let's just talk a little bit about what our healthcare system's like now. The fact that, you know, when I'm sick and I call in to see my doctor, he's too busy, so I have to see a different doctor anyway. I don't think I'm seeing the doctor that I want to see. That's already our healthcare system.
Yep.
When I go to get my drugs refilled, if I'm a day early, I get denied because the health insurance system is rationing
out. Yep, that's happened to me.
Already,
yep.
That's happening now. Or if a doctor prescribes a drug, I can't get it because it's not approved because it's not on their list, which is why drug companies advertise on TV now, which people I don't think get. Do you know that I waited in the hospital once so long that I actually fell asleep and they forgot about me?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Were you there for narcolepsy or were you there for something else?
No, I was having it ended up being an anxiety attack, but I thought it was a heart attack. And I watched an entire basketball game. I literally fell asleep in the waiting room waiting for them to call me. And when I woke up, I went to the front. I'm like, are you guys going to call me? And they're like, oh, you're still here? I'm like, if I was having a heart attack, I would be dead by now.
Yeah, oh, you were sleeping? Oh, we thought you were dead. We called the morgue.
That's our healthcare system now. And, you know, the reality is, you know, I think I mentioned this to you guys before that, you know, I lived in Germany for 3.5 years.
So did I.
My son was born in Germany. I can tell you the amount of money you spend as a German is far less than what we pay in premiums, what we pay in co-pays, what we pay in everything. And the reality of the situation is once we get this universal health care system in place, we will, at the very least, at the absolute very least, we will halt this 20% increase year after year after year. And the reality of it is it should dramatically reduce our health care.
Yep, absolutely. We've heard story after story like this. I took a jart in the head in France at 3 a.m. and it cost me $1 to get fixed. Stuff like that. 28 minutes.
But in France, it'd be un jart.
Un jart. Un jart.
28 minutes to the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, Stephanie Miller.
We could get hammered.
Oh, it's too early for me, but you go ahead.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael in L.A. on Caribou Barbie.
Hey, how
on her
you doing, guys?
Farewell tour.
I realize Jim's married right now. Am I still allowed to poke him with a conspiracy stick?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I actually have two conspiracies. Mm-hmm. The first one is Sarah Palin, why she stepped down. Well, I noticed that the oil companies, the speculators, drove up the price of oil. They stored it even in ships offshore so they could bring the price up.
Mm-hmm.
Now oil is dropping. So if Sarah Palin steps down and then the oil pipeline gets attacked...
Interesting.
Now my other one is the hit squad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying that it wasn't effective and it wasn't even in use, but suppose it was effective for Dr. David Kelly and for Mike Connell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I have one other question.
Yes.
When Jim is sitting around with his wife, does she discuss conspiracies with him and sort of like a conspiracy threesome?
We have no information on what Jim Ward does in the privacy of his home with his lovely juniper thing.
Jeniqui.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Jamiroquai.
Juniper Berry.
Just when you think Sarah Palin wasn't popular, she was greeted like a rock star, Chris, in Unalakleet. That's a fishing village. She danced with Eskimos.
Guys and gals.
Sure, she danced with guys and gals in the
Gals. Oh.
She watched grizzlies at a wildlife sanctuary, but she was visited as a rock star in Unalakleet. That's the fishing village where Tad Palin visited dozens of times on his snow machine. That's where the Iron Dog snow machine race is.
It has like 80 people, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, I know. I love this. If her reception in Friday is any indication, she has a strong base of support. More than 100 people packed a community center and bingo hall. Ooh.
Ooh, a bingo hall.
Mmm. She says it is not a farewell. It's a thank you. It's a thank you tour to the people
the guys and gals.
Of Alaska, who she has left in the lurch.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you for electing me governor so that I could get onto the national stage. And now, bye-bye. Goodbye to you. She said, it's not a farewell, I'm Alaskan. It's more like, thanks for letting me be here, and I'll see you soon. I'll get back to ya. Don't you worry.
I'll try to find you some, and I'll bring them to
you. She's not even a native Alaskan. She was born in Idaho.
If Idaho...
Okay, come on, Jim, now there. Okay.
I can't wait for her debate with Barack Obama when the Republicans nominate her in 2012.
Yeah, Joe Biden did kind of clean the floor with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, it ain't so, Joel.
Oh, golly, Joel. Okay, so we, despite the loss of Mitch McChinless and noted racist Jeff Sessions...
Mm-hmm. Noted KKK sympathizer Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sonia Sotomayor, approval likely in early August.
Ew. The world's sugarous spice. Everyday night. It ain't a man's world.
Richard Lugar of Indiana became the first Republican senator to endorse her. He was followed by Mel Martinez of Florida and Maine moderate Olympia Snow. So it looks like early August for Sonia Sotomayor, who had to endure perhaps the most annoying, hearing ever. By the way, our guest Rude Pundit, who was on in hour number one today,
yes,
that'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. Hilarious. You have to read his blogging on the Sotomayor hearings.
Yeah, rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Meanwhile, what does Nudie think? I think that's the important thing.
Who cares what Nudie thinks?
Yeah, frankly, who does? Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich said it's difficult to tell what kind of U.S. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor would become, calling her testimony this week dramatically more moderate than some of her recent remarks.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm. You remember he was the first one to come out and call her a racist?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's since backed away from that, saying his comments perhaps may have been too harsh.
Frankly. My comments were misinterpreted by overly sensitive people, frankly.
He said he still has lingering concerns about Sotomayor, as if anyone cares. I'm not sure why people keep
asking
him.
Why are people asking him his opinion on this?
Because I'm on the TV, frankly.
He's a disgraced former Speaker of the House.
Yeah. He said the person who testified this week is dramatically more moderate than the person who made those speeches. It'll be very interesting to see how she winds up as a justice. Yeah, well, it was interesting to see that you winded up on TV after you're leaving in disgrace and being a big...
And he really is on Fox News Channel every single night because O'Reilly will have him on, then the next night Hannity will have him on, then the next night Greta will have him on, and then they'll rotate him over and over again. So it's like he's his own host.
Yeah, it's sort of like his marriages getting rotated.
Yeah, exactly.
It's being the same crap I've been doing for 20 years, frankly, and it doesn't make any more sense now than it did then, frankly. Frankly, I'm a big failure, frankly.
By the way, speaking of...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Both fiscally and morally, Governor Mark Sanford says God will make him better. Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I guess God is his new soulmate now.
Oh, not Maria.
No. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford.
Send a letter, Maria.
Who, by the way, did not want to take these stimulus funds, but apparently flew his personal stimulus package first class to see Maria.
To get stimulated.
That seems a little hypocritical because he made a big deal out of that when he became governor. That was all wasteful taxpayer, blah, blah.
Whatever.
And he made everybody else fly in a steerage with Leonardo DiCaprio while he flew first class to get his package
stimulated. At least they got to dance a jig back there.
Governor Mark Sanford, still clinging to office after admitting to an extramarital affair, wrote in an opinion piece released Sunday that God will change him. Oh, boy. So that he can emerge from the scandal a more humble and effective leader.
But if he doesn't, it's God's fault if he doesn't become more humble and effective.
Yeah, if he stays horny for that Maria chick, then
God is an idiot.
Yeah, God's
clearly.
Senator Jake Knotts, who is a Republican of South Carolina, said his love letters show he's a hell of a writer. He's a hell of a writer and a promise maker, but he doesn't keep promises to the state of South Carolina like he doesn't keep promises to his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Oh, dear.
That would be a Republican lawmaker that had that to say. Meanwhile, oddly, Mark Sanford's spokesman is leaving.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
He had the decency to step down.
Yeah. Wouldn't you leave if you were Mark Sanford's spokesman?
And he had a better excuse, as you know, because,
The
Appalachian Trail sounds like Argentinian tale, as many people have pointed out. So he could have misheard the governor, and yet he has the decency to step down. The spokesman for the philandering governor, Press Secretary Joel Sawyer, said he's leaving to pursue unspecified opportunities.
An opportunity to get away from Mark Sanford.
Yes, which don't apparently involve who your boss is banging. in the private sector, unspecified opportunities. And he said his boss's revelation of an extramarital affair has nothing to do with his departure, meaning that he and his boss...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Apparently, hiking the Appalachian Trail makes you exhausted and dehydrated.
Apparently. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. Oh, the thing with the guy, with the governor and the thing? No, that's not why I'm...
No,
that's not why I'm leaving.
I have opportunities that are unspecified
that are not this opportunity.
Can't talk
that are
about
different.
Because they don't exist.
Okay.
Well, at least Mark Sanford's mommy and daddy didn't have to pay
that's
his
true.
Way out of it.
Why not? Why are they so cheap? Okay.
Should have borrowed $92,000 from the stimulus package.
Or from John Ensign's parents.
And yet another example of how increasingly irrelevant the Republican Party is becoming. Right after we played Who Cares What Newt Gingrich Thinks?
Yeah.
Somebody had the audacity to ask Dan Quayle what he thinks.
Wow, he's a bit irrelevant, isn't he?
Yes, we'll find out what Dan Quayle thinks about the president.
I think the actual question was, what do you think? There's a little punctuation.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour, back with that and the latest on healthcare as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Georgia on the healthcare debate. Hey, Dave, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. I'm actually calling you from Newt Gingrich's district, the 6th District of Georgia, which I also refer to as the loneliest place on earth to be a Democrat. I was just calling. I don't know if you've talked about what Dennis Kucinich got accomplished last week. Through his committee, they got an amendment to the health care bill, which would allow single-payer health care on a state-by-state basis.
I saw that on Ed's show on MSNBC on Friday.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And apparently, you know, Canada, which has single-payer for everybody, arrived at it on a province-by-province basis. That's
wow.
how they accomplished it as well. And, you know, while Baucus is having doctors and nurses hauled out of committees who support single-payer, you know, and totally taking it off the table, this might be a real way for us to finally accomplish it in single-payer far and away, to my understanding.
Well, that'd be something, because I got to tell you, Dave, I can't believe we're screaming over, you know, maybe not even be able to get a public option or get health care reform done at all, when I think you're right, what we really need is single payer. You know, I mean,
it's far away the most efficient. It would cut a third off our health care expenditures with the stroke of a pen. But, you know, the borrowers are too entrenched, and it would mean the end of all health insurance companies, and that
yeah.
would be a tall order. But thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling. The president obviously talked about this on Friday, and then again in his address. He will give another speech on Wednesday.
I have to say, now is not the time to slow down. And now is certainly not the time to lose heart.
Yeah, and I guess as Nancy Pelosi said, and I keep repeating, I mean, this is what legislating is. This is what they do. This is obviously no one's saying health care is simpler. We would have solved it a long time ago. So it's talking about how to get costs down and how to pay for this.
We actually believe that about two-thirds of the costs of reforming health care could be achieved through these savings alone without any new revenue. Of course, that still leaves one-third of the costs in order for us to cover all Americans, that we're still going to have to find a way to pay for.
Yeah.
The chairman of the Republican Party, Michael Steele, called President Obama's plan to overhaul health care socialism. Oh, that's helpful. There that is again. Accusing the president of conducting a risky experiment that will hurt the economy and force millions to drop their current coverage.
The risky experiment is what we have now.
I was just going to say.
People are dying.
Yeah. Michael Steele also said the president, Nancy Pelosi, and key congressional committee chairman are part of a cabal. That wants to implement a government. I need some scary music.
Oh.
That wants to implement government-run health care. Obama-Pelosi. Oh, he's just merged them into a two-headed hydra now.
Mm.
Obama-Pelosi want to start building a colossal closed health care system where Washington decides. Republicans want and support an open health care system where patients and doctors make the decisions.
Open and free.
Huh.
Patients and doctors.
And secure. No.
Mm. You know, maybe we should have the president explain it to Michael Steele and speak slowly so that he understands it. The president... But he keeps trying to combat this lie.
Those who oppose reform will also tell you that under our plan, you won't get to choose your doctor, that some bureaucrat will choose for you. That's also not true. Michelle and I don't want anyone telling us who our family doctor should be, and no one should decide that for you either. Under our proposal, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance. Period. End of story.
To which Michael Steele responded, "Dur."
Right.
He asked if Obama's health care plan represents socialism. Steele responded, "Yes." Next question.
What does socialism mean?
Yeah, he doesn't know what socialism is.
Cue scary music again,
right.
Please. Republican officials say they were supplementing Steele's speech with a round of television advertising designed to oppose government-run health care, the 30-second commercial gym titled Grand Experiment.
Yeah, I just was just running on CNN a little while ago.
It's a risky experiment with our health care.
No, it's not.
Unlike the rock-solid plan we have now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect plan that we have now. Right.
The GOP ads show children who presumably would be burdened as adult taxpayers with the cost of health care overhaul. Oh, the GOP thinking of the children again. Isn't that sweet? They're children
Oh, somebody please think of the children!
Assuming they survive into adulthood because they've had health care, which wasn't taken away from them by insurance companies.
Mm.
Oh, the president.
Worried about the bottom line.
The president will be speaking today again on health care.
Good.
Yes.
All right. here's the thing. Republicans, this is their, we've been running health care the way they've wanted to run it. Let's try something that works now. Here's the difference in the Obama administration. People that screw up actually get fired. Like, for instance, the Air Force discharged three North Dakota ballistic missile crew members who fell asleep while holding classified launch code devices. See, right away you'd think.
You're fired.
That might be a good idea.
That doesn't sound like that would be good.
Speaking of incompetent, Dan Quayle.
Oh, boy.
Who even thought to ask Dan Quayle what he thinks, just out of curiosity? Quayle said it's not yet clear whether Obama's Democratic administration will govern more liberally than he campaigned. He said, I think his biggest challenge is to tame the left wing of his party. I guess we'll find out how left Obama really is, because he's going to have to make some very tough decisions where he's either going to have to go with the left wing of his party or stare them down and govern more like Bill Clinton governed, which is sort of center left. Yes, Bill Clinton, who didn't get health care done, or perhaps he should go with what the quote-unquote left wing of the party and 75% of the American people want, and that is a health care reform plan that has a public option.
That's a big wing, 75% of the people.
That's a scary left wing these days, isn't it? Apparently that many people against fruit drinks.
But one thing that's also clear is that potato is spelled with an E.
He's
never ever going to live that down. That's going to be on his tombstone.
On his tombstone.
Yeah.
All right. By the by, so today is the 40th anniversary of man's first landing on the moon.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
President Obama will host the Apollo 11 crew today on the 40th anniversary of the first moon landing. I like what one of the astronauts said, Collins. He was one of the...
Michael Collins.
Michael Collins.
He was
the
guy who... One guy who didn't walk on the moon.
Right, he circled,
he
yeah.
Poor guy.
But I liked what he said. Because, you know, guys that have been up there, what was one of the astronauts that said that recently? They're like, ooh, you gotta take a look. It's like soup down there. So the Bush administration was probably like,
don't speak.
Don't talk about things that sound like climate change. Yeah. Don't. One of the key words Collins used to describe Earth is fragile. He said that 40 years later, it is still fragile and growing more so. He said, when we flew to the moon, our population was 3 billion. Today, it has more than doubled and is headed for 8 billion, the experts say. I do not think this growth is sustainable or healthy. The loss of habitat, the trashing of oceans, the accumulation of waste products, this is no way to treat a planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he should know. He's seen it from
better space
view than we have.
Yes.
The rest of us. All right, the other disturbing news story this weekend. Did you see the soldier that was captured by the Taliban? Did you see the a soldier from Idaho who disappeared from his base in Afghanistan has been captured, the Pentagon confirmed, a day after he was seen in a Taliban video posted online. In the video, he said he was scared, I won't be able to go home, provided the first glimpse of the missing American. He said in the video he was lagging behind a patrol when he was captured, which conflicts earlier military accounts that he left the base with three Afghans. So that the story is a little
hinky,
murky.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. On July 2nd, two U.S. officials said the AP soldier had quote unquote just walked off his base with three Afghans after his shift. On July 6th, the Taliban claimed on their website that 5 days earlier, a drunken American soldier had come out of his garrison and was captured. So I don't know what the story is there, but
I just don't
think there's any winning in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well,
we may just
we hope he gets a safe return.
Yeah, well, exactly. I was going to say, no matter what the story is,
right.
All right. So I was mentioning Caribou Barbie is on her farewell tour, or you know,
whatever.
Touring all the bingo halls of Alaska.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, she is packing them in the bingo halls that seat 100. By the tens, people are lining up to say thanks for leaving us in the lurch.
But no thanks.
Anyway, so remember she said that she would be happy now. She's available. She's free and available to campaign for Democrats.
Computer says no.
Not a single one.
She's finding that a little. Governor Sarah Palin, it may not have many takers. Interviews with a number of the most conservative Democrats in the House and Senate induced an awkward stare-at-your-shoes unease.
Oh, no.
The prospect of appearing with Palin was posed. Some of the members lunged for elevators. Others moved to get into meetings. Or at least a few just chuckled nervously.
Yeah.
But so far, not many takers. Since announcing her resignation, Sarah Palin has been pummeled by critics who have called her incoherent, a quitter, a joke, and a political train wreck. Those are just the fellow Republicans thus far.
And the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
I think we've used all of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is remarkable is the contempt Palin has engendered within her own party, the fact that so many of her Republican detractors are willing, even eager, to express it publicly, even with Palin an early frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination, which tells you everything you need to know about the state of the Republican Party today. Hooray for them. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LeMoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.